Welcome to Naunton Lane and our recorded service of worship. And this is recorded for Lord's Day, the 5th of April. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 95. Well, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise, for the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Let's sing to the Lord's praise now. We'll sing our first hymn, The God of Abraham Praise. Let's join together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we may come into your presence, each of us severally in our own homes. We pray that you will bless us as we worship you together this Lord's Day. Our Father, we thank you that you have made yourself known to us, that you have revealed yourself by your Holy Spirit, and have revealed yourself in Christ our Saviour. Thank you too, O Lord, for the revelation that you have made to us of yourself throughout all the scriptures. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to understand this revelation and to know you better. Our Father, we pray now that as we come to you, and that as we sing your praises, we pray to you, as we read your word and consider your word, we pray, Lord, that you will help us to do all of these things for our profit, but to your worship and to your glory. Our Father, too, as we come into your presence, We become aware of our own sinfulness, and so we ask that you will forgive our sins. Our Father, we do not ask lightly, for we know that the forgiveness of our sins was at the great price to our Lord Jesus Christ of his life blood. Not only his physical death upon the cross, but his bearing of our sins in our place. And we thank you, O Lord, that that sacrifice of his was declared acceptable by you through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that you will bring to us all the things that are in that sacrifice, that his death may be applied to us, that we may die to sin, and that his life in resurrection may be applied to us too, that we may rise to new life. And so, Father, we do commend our time of worship to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got something for the children now, so I hope the children are watching and listening. I think, children, that you will have been inside for quite a while, and I think perhaps that you are thinking about what it's like to be inside. Do you remember a little while ago I spoke to you about a castle, and about I showed you this picture of a castle, and there's a picture of a castle coming up right now. It's in the middle of a lake. It's not in this country. It's in a country called Lithuania, which is a long way off, but it's still in Europe. This is a castle. And I said about castles, well, I asked you and you told me, who lives in a castle? It's kings and queens. What are castles for? Well, they're there to be a home for the kings and the queens, but they're also there to protect people. And when people need to be protected, they run into the castle, and sometimes they have to be in the castle for a long time and can't go out. Just like us, your mummies and daddies too, and brothers and sisters, we can't go out, except perhaps for little walks here and there, and perhaps to go to the shops too. But the Lord is our castle. He is our safe stronghold. We run into him and we are safe. And though we have to stay there for a long time, it's good that we can run into the Lord and be safe in him. Well, I wonder if you have been out perhaps, or perhaps you've heard about it, how people are putting bears, teddy bears and other sorts of bears into the windows for children to count as they go around. And I wonder if you've been counting the bears, perhaps as you've seen them, or maybe been looking for them, or maybe just heard about it. Well, I've got another bear here for you. You can add this one to your collection. She's called Betty Bear. She comes all the way from New Zealand, and she lives on our bookcase just at the moment. So this is Betty Bear. And if you keep watching for a little while, just another minute or two, you'll see another bear that you can add to your collection of bears that you've seen too. Let's pray first of all, though. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we may run into you, that we may be safe in you. Thank you, our Father, that you watch over us and that you keep us at all times. And thank you too, O Lord, that you are with us, whether we are inside our houses or outside of our houses. And we pray, O Lord, that you give us patience to be inside a lot. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help our mummies and daddies too, as they are inside a lot too. And we ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture readings is from, we're carrying on in Deuteronomy. And we read from Deuteronomy chapter 5. We'll be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1, through to chapter 6, verse 3. If you've got a Bible handy, it's good if you could turn the pages up. And we won't read the whole section, it's quite a long section. Of course, right in the middle of the section is the Ten Commandments. We won't read them, but we'll take them as read. So chapter 5, we'll read verses 1 to 6, and then chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. And I'll read those for us now. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, while I stood between the Lord and you at that time, to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain. He said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery.'" And then on to chapter 6 and verses 1 to 3. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey." Let us come to the Lord to pray. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we may come and that we may pray to you. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your great grace to us, that you have shown to us in Christ all of your love and all of your kindness. Thank you that we may come and that we may sing your praises. Thank you too that we may speak your praises and praise you and thank you in prayer. And we do thank you, O Lord, for all that you have given to us and all that you are to us. Thank you for all the way in which you have led us, and that you are still with us, and that you are keeping us, preserving us, and helping us day by day. O Father, we do commit the sick to you, and at this time we pray especially for any who may be under more strict rules of isolation. We lift them to you, Lord, and we pray that you will encourage them. We pray, Lord, that as they consider you, and as they have perhaps have extra time, that they may use this well to your purposes, and turn to you in prayer and in thanksgiving for all that you've given. Our Father, we do lift the Metcalf family to you. Oh Lord, we are saddened by Diane's passing some while ago. And yet, Lord, we do not grieve as those who have no hope, but we have the hope of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank you, O Lord, for this hope of glory, that when the Lord returns again, then we shall be raised from the dead. And in between that time, O Lord, we shall be with you. Our Father, we do commit Graham to you and the family, and we pray, Lord, that you will help them. We pray that you will be with them in their grief. We pray, Father, that they may seek you in their grief, may pour out their hearts to you. We do pray that you will comfort them. We commend them to you, Lord. Our Father, we pray for the National Health Service. Thank you for this facility. Thank you, O Lord, for the dedication of the nurses and the doctors and those who work in it. And we pray that you keep them safe at this time. We also pray, Lord, you grant to them the skills that they need. And we pray that the NHS will not be overwhelmed by this current pandemic. We commit all of the institutions that work for the health and the good of the nation to you. Father, we pray for ourselves too. And as a nation, we do commend to you Her Majesty the Queen and her Prime Minister and her government. And we pray, Lord, that you grant to them wisdom at this time. We also pray, Lord, that you will help them in more normal circumstances to promote life and to promote your law and to promote the well-being of the citizens of this country, both materially and spiritually. Father, we pray for ourselves as a nation too, that you will forgive our sins and that you will turn our hearts back to you. We confess, Lord, that many have wandered far from you, and we pray for forgiveness and pray for your help, and pray, Lord, that your word will be strong in the land, will be heard in the land, that you will raise up men who will preach your word, but also, Father, that you will raise up many who will hear your word and turn to you through Christ. Would you commit Alice to you, Lord, and the baby, not born as of this time of recording, but would you commit them to you, Lord, and pray that the birth will go well and safely. And for Ryan too, and Noah and Annalise, we pray, and that you will be with them too. We commit the Folks family to you. We pray for Matt as he continues his studies. We pray that under the difficult circumstances that he may do well and not be distracted from his studies. And we pray too, Father, for the move here, and pray that that will be smoothed by you, Lord, and that the road ahead will be smoothed by you, that they may come among us and minister your word, may minister your word to us. Would you lift the Cochrane family to you too, Father? We pray for Michael and Laura and Fox, and pray that their move to Gloucester may be achieved soon. We also pray for Michael as he starts up that work of church planting ministry in Gloucester, that you will indeed form another gospel believing church there. We pray for the church in Mungalia and Lemanu, and we ask you, Lord, that they will have your help too at this time when they too neither are meeting together. And we pray that you will help Pastor Gilberto and his wife Solange. We pray for Gilberto, Lord, that he will know your strength and your wisdom and your grace at this time. And we do commend the congregations there at Mungalia and Lemanu to you, Lord, and we pray that you will strengthen them. We lift Christy to you, Lord. We pray that if you are calling him to this work of ministry, that you will confirm that call to him, that you will open the way for him to study. And Father, too, we do pray for other missionaries whom we may know. We pray that you'll be with them, that you will strengthen them as they seek to make Christ known in the world. And we pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in a moment, let's turn to our sermon. Continuing in Deuteronomy, where the Lord is speaking to his people through Moses, his servant. And they are assembled on the east side of the Jordan, about to cross through the Jordan into the Promised Land. There Moses has assembled them and gathered them, and is speaking the Lord's word to them, giving them the Lord's instructions for living in the land, but also revealing the Lord to them, that they may have this treasured knowledge and that they may carry it with them through the many generations ahead of them. It is God himself who is leading them through the desert. Moses he is using, yes, but it is God himself who leads them through the desert. God himself who speaks to them, who meets with them, who provides everything for them. Remember in John chapter 6, Jesus had to remind the people gathered there that it wasn't Moses that gave you manna in the desert. It was his Father from heaven. So it is that the Lord God is leading the people through the desert and onwards to this point of entering into the Promised Land. The passage that we're looking at is it's one that contains the Ten Commandments. Of course, the Ten Commandments are given in Exodus as well, but here they are repeated again. And here in this passage, as well as many points of the people's response, which we'll look at briefly, but we are also shown God's nature. God is revealed to us here in this passage that we're looking at. God is revealed. And then we look at 2, the grace of God. And then at 3, the generosity of God. God is revealed. God reveals himself to them. He made a covenant with them. He spoke directly to them. Yes, the human agency was Moses, but God is revealing himself, especially to the people. He reveals himself in all sorts of ways. He speaks face to face with them, he said. He has a personal meeting with the people. Of course, they do not see him, but yet they meet personally with him. It is a real meeting that they have with him. And God speaks to them, explains to them his covenant, makes his covenant, ratifies his covenant with them, and leads them on through their time in the desert. God revealed himself in fire. That's in verse 22. God is a consuming fire. It speaks to us of his holiness, and it speaks to us of his otherness, that he is not like us. It speaks to us of his purity, because fire purifies. God is a consuming fire. He reveals himself to them in the cloud as well. So in the cloud and the fire, he is revealing to them who he is. The cloud speaks to us too, again, of God's mystery, that there are things that we just cannot fathom out. There are things that we cannot see into, just as we can't see into the clouds and what's inside of them or what's behind them. So we cannot see fully into God. There is mystery there. In many ways, the Lord himself hides himself from us. Not because he does not want us to know him, but because we simply could not take it in. He is mysterious. They saw no form. But yet he speaks directly to them. See that in verses 25 and 26 of chapter 5. Their reaction is to be afraid. They are afraid of God. They say to God, to Moses, no, we cannot bear to hear the voice of God speaking to us like this out of the fire and out of the cloud. You speak to the Lord, they say to Moses, and then you report back to us what has been said. And this shows their reverence, the fear for the Lord. It is a fear that is an awe and a reverence. There in verse 29, the Lord says, oh, that they would always be like this. Oh, that they would always have this fear and this reverence and this awe for me. This desire to obey, this desire to do what is commanded. And so Moses hears the words of God and reports them directly to the people. But this fear of God is to work itself out into a holy reverence of God. It is something that they will carry with them into the land, this memory, and this memory that will be passed down through the generations, down and down and down the hundreds of years. It is that we are to reverence God. It will hark back to a time when, yes, they were physically afraid, but this physical fear will transpose itself into an awe and a reverence of God, and this is good. It is good that we have reverence of God. It is good that we are in awe of him. It is good that we do not try to become over familiar with God. He indeed is a consuming fire and a pillar of cloud. So the people ask Moses to stand between them and God. Don't we see this in some things of Christ as well? Christ is the Son of God. He is fully God. He is like God. There is nothing that we can attribute to God that we cannot attribute to Christ, and vice versa. There's nothing in Christ that is not there in God. And indeed, we see Christ's holiness and awesomeness as well. When he calmed the storm, and the disciples were there in the boat with him, they were afraid. They were certainly afraid of the waves and the wind. Then when Jesus calmed the storm and the sea became like a mill pond, they were even more afraid. They were afraid of Jesus, who could work such miracles over the creation. Of course, he told them not to be afraid. This fear would translate itself for them into awe and worship and respect of Christ. Think of the Roman centurion as Jesus died upon the cross as he was looking on. "Surely this is the Son of God," he said. How awesome must that event have struck him, and how awesome must Christ have struck him on the cross. Jesus knew also fully the holiness of God. He kept all of God's commandments and all of God's law. He was holy of himself. He was pure. He knew no sin. And yet he was able to live among us. He came to us as Emmanuel, God with us, that he could come and live among us. But there is nothing in the God who reveals himself to the people in the desert that is not there in Jesus Christ too. See in the desert too how God reveals his laws to the people. These 10 commandments and the many other laws that he gave to Moses to transmit to the people. But see too the character of God in those commandments. God is revealing himself also when he reveals his holy law to the people. The commandments reveal that there is just one God. He alone is to be worshipped, but they speak to us that there is but one God. And the gods of the nations, these idol gods, just simply do not exist. There is one God who reveals himself to us as but one. He is a holy God, whose very name is holy, and whose very name is not to be taken in vain. He is a God who judges justly, who punishes evil, but rewards the good. In verse 10, he is a very loving God. And in the second table of the law that speaks to us of our obligations to each other in God's sight, God reveals himself in those two. This is verses 16 to 21 of Deuteronomy chapter 5. He is the God of life, and so he condemns murder. He is a God who is the living God, the God who imparts life in such abundance and such variety. Just look at the world around us. All of this created by God. He's the God of life and the living God. And he hates murder. He's the God of love. No adultery, no stealing, no lying, no dishonesty, no dishonoring of parents. All of these things break down love. Yes, they are true. They are in the particulars that we must not do these things. But in general, they reveal to us the God of love, who loves his people and wants his people to love each other. And a God who is full of justice. A God who will condemn the guilty, but exonerate the innocent. He's a God who gives to each one. And so no one should covet or take from another person what God has given to them. He's the God who sees inside of us, not just our outward actions, but he sees into our hearts and our minds. All of this is implicit in the Ten Commandments. And yet the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus, would draw out the interior things of the commandments of God. So God reveals himself both by his actual words and his deeds, and also by the commandments that he gives. He's also a gracious God, the grace of God. Is there perhaps any time a thought of playing off the grace of God and the law of God, of saying that is grace, that is law, and that never the twain can meet? No. All of God's actions are gracious. Every single one of God's actions is gracious. It comes from grace. He gives, he does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Yes, certainly there's a distinction between indulgence and legalism, but indulgence is not the same as grace, and the law is not the same as legalism. So law and grace are both sides of the same coin. They both represent God's turning to us, God's position towards us, God's giving to us. See the Lord's grace in verse 6 of chapter 5. I am the Lord your God who delivered you from slavery in Egypt. That is the epitome of grace. That is the sum of grace. The Lord delivered them from slavery in Egypt. And that is the sum of God's grace to us. He's delivered us from our own sinfulness, from our slavery to Satan. And then the Lord goes on to recount these Ten Commandments. The commandments are a response, a loving response to that grace of God. But grace comes first. I am the Lord your God who delivered you out of slavery in Egypt. The commandments are there to make us happy. They provide a way of life that leads to human contentment, leads to human happiness. Oh, how content and happy, or much happier than it is, our society would be if we strove to keep the law of God, even if people were not Christians, even if they were just God-fearers, to use an old term. How much happier would our nation and our society be? The laws of God protect the weak and the vulnerable. They are given to sinners to mitigate the effects of sinfulness. They were given to the people in the desert. They were a people who had been brought out of Egypt and were a people who were about to go into the land. They'd been cocooned, as it were, in this sphere, this bubble almost, in the desert, alone with God for these 40 years. And now they were about to cross over the Jordan, to go into a land and to disperse geographically and over time. They were to be God's people in the land, dispersed as much as ever they were in this cocoon in the desert, where God, as it were, had them all to himself. And so the Lord is teaching them and preparing them by giving them the laws that they should go out and live by in the land when they get into it. And these laws are good. They are gracious. They are from God's heart to ours. Remember, they are a revelation of God. It is God speaking himself to our hearts, saying to us, this is what I'm like. Be like that too. follow me. Imitate me. Be as obedient children who love their parents and follow their parents' example and do their parents' command. This is the Lord's grace to us in all the way that he leads us and in all the law that he gives to us. And we see too the generosity of God. God is generous. He loves to give. Didn't our Lord Jesus speak about giving? Give and give and give, he said. And the Lord will give in return, but it is reflecting the character of God to give. It's better to give than to receive, the Lord said. It reflects the character of God. God is generous. And the Lord is leading them into the land that he promised. It's this land that is filled with milk and honey, flowing with milk and honey. Verse 3 of chapter 6. It is a rich land, a land that they can enjoy, and a land that they can live in to the full. He gives us so much, spiritually and materially. And our response to him giving us so much is to thank him, to be a thankful people, to thank our God, to be thankful to our generous Father, both in our words of thankfulness in prayer, and in our actions of generosity to others as well as we are able and as the Lord enables. So the Lord has revealed himself to us. It's a gracious revelation of his grace. And the Lord our God is a generous God to his people as well. And their response is to obey him. Remember, the law is not a straitjacket to inhibit our freedoms. Just the opposite, it is liberating for us. The law is life-giving. Keep them that you may live, verse 33. And keeping the law is following our elder brother, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's doing as he did. The law, the commandments, will not give us eternal life. Only the grace of God in Christ will give us eternal life upon our faith and our repentance. But the law of God will help us to fulfill God's purposes for us. It is for those who fear God, for those who have a mind to fear him, verse 29 again, for those who hold him in awe and reverence, in short, for those who love him. Our obedience is our show, a display of love for God. So here in this chapter 5, God has revealed himself to his people. Moses is reminding them of that. He's speaking to them again about the things that they have experienced in the past. Deuteronomy, the actual title of the book, it means the second law or the second giving of the law. And here Moses is repeating to the people so that they will remember, so that they will take heed at this very, very significant moment as they are on the very banks of the Jordan waiting to go across. God has revealed himself. He's revealed his nature, that it is great and that it is awe-inspiring. He's revealed that he is gracious. There is great love in the law of God. There is great love in God himself. And he's revealed that he is generous. He delights to give. He's giving them a land of flowing with milk and honey, and they are to enjoy it in his way, in his terms. We see all of these things in Christ. He truly leads us through the wilderness of this world as God led the people through the desert. He truly is great and awe-inspiring. He is loving and gracious, and he truly is generous. How much he gave to us when he died upon the cross for us and rose from the dead for us. Might God have good cause to say of us, oh, that they had such a mind as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments. May the Lord say that of us too. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we may always pray to you, that we may always thank you. We thank you too, O Lord, for all the good things that you have given to us. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. We thank you that you have been so gracious to us, giving us the law that we may keep, that we may have life in this world, that we may be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, O Lord, for your grace to us, your grace to us in Christ that has overcome our own sinfulness, that has done for us what the keeping of the law could never do, to make us your own children. And thank you too, O Lord, that you have led us in the wilderness, that you are so generous to us, and you give to us day by day. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our closing hymn now. My heart is filled with thankfulness. My heart is filled with thankfulness. Now, as we part for another week, we pray that the Lord will keep us over this coming week. And we pray that the Lord will bless us, hold us fast in his love, and help us through this difficult time for us all. May he bless us and keep us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.